titled this service. Really, this, when we say we're putting a title on a sermon, we kind of, it's all about the service in general, and we try to pick songs and hymns and readings and prayers to match that theme. So giving not getting is the way. And a better way to put that in some ways is the golden rule, and that's what we read nicely with Carson read that for us this morning at verse 31 and in Luke. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I was reading about different things about the golden rule today, and this came across my desk actually earlier this week, that a mother was telling her six-year-old about the golden rule. I'd never heard it before. She said, "Always remember," she said, "that we're here to help others." And he thought about this for a few minutes and then asked, "Well, what are the others for?" And often we misinterpret sometimes this golden rule, especially if we're smaller, trying to understand all those big words and the concept. We're all here to help others, but sometimes we wonder, what are the others here to do? And that's what Jesus is addressing in this particular little reading that we have from Luke, and it's also in Matthew. Before we go into this, though, I'd like us just to bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, we pray that you will help us to hear today what you want us to hear. Open our minds and our eyes and ears, all spiritually speaking, and help us to just hear your voice. Sometimes it's difficult because we get here in a rush and there's lots going on and things getting set up and afternoon plans and things that can distract us. This is the moment that we need to just breathe, take a moment, and listen for you. And so, Lord, as it says in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. Golden rule. I want you to look that up today. Here's your challenge. Go on the internet if you've got internet access, and most everybody seems to in one way or another, smartphone or computer or otherwise, look up the golden rule. You'll find, if you especially look at for in images on Google, you're going to see a poster come up because it's all over the place where the golden rule repeats itself across a dozen different religious beliefs or religious traditions. And we could, in some ways, come to the conclusion that all religions are the same. And that's what many would have you believe in many ways. There's a concerted effort by many of world religions to sort of create a unity by focusing on the similarities rather than the differences. And that's a wonderful and laudable thing because it seems that all religions believe in some sort of afterlife. We all believe in some sort of higher power. We being these various religions, they all believe that we should be loving and kind to one another. They all believe that there are so many similar things. Why can't we just get along? And that's very true. There are a lot of similarities between the various world religions and beliefs. There are also a lot of similarities between an apple and an orange, if you want to think about it. For that matter, there are a lot of things that we can see if we talk about a real apple and a plastic apple. One's real, one's fake. One's an apple, really, and one's not. And you discover this not by focusing necessarily on its similarities, but on some of the differences. And that's kind of where I want to go with some of this morning, very briefly. The things that Jesus says in this Sermon on the Mount, as we titled this particular section, we read it in Matthew, and he has blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted, and he gives all these various sayings. None of these sayings are particularly unique. The audience that he was speaking to, especially when he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, he was clearly speaking to a Jewish audience at the time. That's an Old Testament concept, do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's one of the rules that's outlined in the law. The Greeks that might have been in the area, and there would have been Greek by tradition, Roman, I guess, by birth in some cases, but Greek by tradition, would have heard Socrates and others say similar things to them. do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If there had been someone in an audience when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount who was from India at the time, also probably would have recognized those words. The words themselves were not earth-shattering in the sense that they weren't any different than anybody else had been saying about how we should relate to other people. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A good principle to live by. Some say in our today's world, that it's a little bit naive to live like that, but that's the challenge we have. I mean, really, who wants to be kind to everybody? And now we venture into some of the ideas and concepts that make the difference in what Jesus was saying at his time. Because as we heard in that gospel reading, he talks about sinners, that's the word that's used, but basically non-religious or non-faithful people. People who have no religious background will do kind things because they're going to be treated kindly. And that's what motivates them. They give to the poor because they know they're going to get something back. They're nice to people because then people will be nice back. But the reality is, and we all know this reality, and this is where Jesus is pushing the edge of the envelope for us, be kind even when they're not going to be kind back. Be loving even when they're not going to love you back. And that's hard. The story that we read is about Joseph. You know, this particular story of Joseph was made very, very famous a while back with the musical that came out, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And some of you are familiar with that play. I remember finding it a record in an old record shop, an original recording that was done in 1972 or 3. That's how long ago this was done. That play was originally written, that musical was originally written for a high school by Andrew Lloyd Webber. His kid was going there and he wrote this musical just as something to do for them. And it then got redone, and now it's become world famous. The content of that musical stays pretty closely to the narrative that we read in Genesis. Joseph, just as a reminder, was son of many brothers. He was one brother of many, seven. His other brothers didn't like him. As it suggests in the Genesis story, and it certainly does in the musical, he was too good looking, he was too smart, he was too just everything. He even got a special coat from his father because he was his dad's favorite. His brothers didn't like him. So they didn't adhere to this do unto others rule. In fact, they throw him in a well, thinking he's going to die. And then they have second thoughts about that because his father's so upset that Joseph's missing. So they pull him out of the well, and they sell him as a slave. Their youngest brother, they sell him as a slave, and off he goes, disappears. And they report to their dad, he died. He fought valiantly, I think the musical time. He fought valiantly for him, but he died anyway. And off he goes to Egypt. And lots of things happen while he's there. But because he's faithful to God, because he lives by this golden rule of treat others the way you want to be treated, things start to happen for him. Very positive things. He also prophesies about a famine that's going to take place, the one he's talking about in this reading today when he's talking to his brothers. He predicted that it was going to happen, and he started to gather, given the job of storing food, and he saved Egypt, essentially, is the way the story goes, because he stockpiled so much food during this famine that took place. And his brothers come back to him, as it says in the narrative and in the musical, because they're starving. And it modernized this concept a little bit. Remember, they're shepherds and they're farmers. So some guys get the audience with a government leader and they show up in their coveralls and work boots and farm hats and whatever else paraphernalia you want to put on there and come into the grand courtroom. And they're in an Armani suit or whatever, you know, and a special haircut he's got because he's much older now, stands this man, very impressive. And they're begging for help. Please feed us. And then finally, Joseph reveals who he is because they did not recognize him. So many years had passed. I'm your brother. I'm sure they were thinking, uh-oh, do unto others as they have done unto you. And Joseph had the power. He could have at that point banned them and let them starve to death. But he didn't. In fact, as we read, you're going to move to another land where you will prosper, and I'm going to give you all the food you need. Because God has been faithful to me, I will be faithful to you. Because God loves me, I will love you. So we have this story of the Golden Rule in action in a story in the Old Testament. And it's groundbreaking in so many ways because we don't live that way, especially today, I believe. And when I say we, I just mean as a society. I'm not going to be nice to other people because I know what I'm going to get back. And traditionally, historically, one of the problems that we find in our church as we look back in time is that that's probably one of the biggest problems that we've had as a social, as a group, society, I was going to say. When I say society, I mean inner culture. People who've left the church complain about the way we treat one another. And often it's unintentional. I'll give you that. But when we get an opportunity, we're not always kind just to be kind. We're not always loving just to be loving. And partly it's, I suppose, what we've learned growing up in ourselves. I tried being nice. I tried being kind. And they weren't kind back. So I've had enough. And Jesus is saying, and this is the groundbreaking difference between his words and these common words, you got to go further. And remember the story when the disciples come to him and say, how many times should we forgive somebody? 7 times 70? It's not just putting numbers on it. He's saying, you do it all the time. That's how we live our lives. And there's a song that we're not singing today in particular, but one that we've sung here many times. And they will know that we are Christians by our love. And the depth of those words go beyond just those simple phrase. We're not just being nice to one another. We're loving one another even when we don't receive love back. We're being kind to one another even if we don't get any kindness back. That's not why we do what we're doing. And that's not why God challenges us in these words of Christ. Christ showed and still shows us love and mercy. Let's never forget the fact that we are all forgiven. All of us are forgiven by God through Christ. And that's a huge concept to get your head around if you're struggling with the idea of sin and you're struggling with the idea of the Christian faith. God has forgiven us and brought us back into the garden, if you like, of Eden, where Adam and Eve once were, because of this love that Christ has for us, the sacrifice that he gave to us. And it's great. Scripture tells us repeatedly how great it is. The motivator for us is that you're forgiven, you should forgive. You've been forgiven very much. You certainly can forgive. You've been loved very much. Certainly you too can love. The Golden Rule is not just something, nice words, but for us as Christian believers, these words are our mandate of how we conduct ourselves with one another, with all others, and all of God's creation. Think about these words from Paul, who's trying to build on this concept in Colossians. As God's chosen ones, that's all of you in this room, everybody, holy and beloved, clothe yourself. Think about that. Don't just put them on for a bit, but completely clothe yourself. It's not something you just do. It's something you wrap yourselves in. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves, wrap yourselves in love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I'll close with this quote. If you contemplate the golden rule, it turns out to be an injunction to live by grace rather than what you think other people deserve. I want to say that again, and I want you to listen to these words. If you contemplate the golden rule, treat others as you expect to be treated, it turns out to be an injunction to live by grace rather than what you think other people deserve. Love the undeserving. Be kind to the undeserving. That's how it wraps it up. If you contemplate that golden rule, it turns out to be an injunction to live by grace rather than by what you think other people deserve. Amen. We'll come before God now with our opportunity to provide our tithes and offerings. And then, children of the Most High, in obedience to Jesus' words, to love others as we love ourselves, to do good and bless and pray for our friends and enemies alike. We do so by these monetary gifts because they help provide work and service and kindness to people in our community. We do that now. Amen.